This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest must know what Americans like to watch on TV. He created such series as The Rockford Files, Beretta, The A-Team, Hunter, 21 Jump Street, Booker, Wise Guy, The Commish, and Silk Stockings. Stephen Cannell is a writer and producer who's run his own production company for the past 15 years. At a time when many Americans worry that television has replaced reading in our culture, Cannell has published his first novel. Not surprisingly, TV is one of the main characters. The novel is called The Plan, and it's about a mafia takeover of a TV network.
The Plan is a novel about an attempt by a mafia family to put a man in the White House. And the reason that they are attempting to do this is that they have realized in 1971 when the RICO laws were enacted, which, as you know, the RICO laws were the laws that basically said that if you have any prior knowledge of a crime, you're as guilty of the crime as if you committed it yourself. And these mobsters realize that that RICO law is going to put them all in jail, and they decide that they had better put a man in the White House. The purpose for that is they want to neuter the Justice Department. They want to put somebody in charge of justice or in charge of the FBI who is not going to prosecute underworld figures. And that's their plan. And the way they realize that they can accomplish this or attempt to accomplish it is by purchasing a television network and using the television network to control the very critical first 3 weeks of a primary campaign up through Super Tuesday, which will allow them to put their man in the White House, or at least to get the Democratic nomination in this case.
Stephen Cannell is my guest. He has a new novel called The Plan. One of the things we all know you for, and we know your name for, is your logo. Because at the end of your shows, there's your logo where you're tearing paper out of the typewriter and tossing it in the wind, kind of carries it, carries it off. Those logos, there's a lot of people doing logos like that now. I think they've come to be called vanity logos. Were you the first?
I probably was, and I did it for probably all the wrong reasons. One of the reasons that I wanted to do it was that when I set up my own studio, I was very concerned because I do write every day for 5 hours, generally 5 hours every day. And I was very concerned when I set up my own studio, and it was a freestanding studio. It carried its own financing. I had no partners. It was just my wife and myself. And if we went down, we were going to lose our house over it. And when I started, I thought I was very concerned that I would start to be perceived as an executive instead of a writer. And so I had a publicist at the time who suggested that logo. And I thought, and I was probably vain enough to say, yeah, I'll put myself on television. So I did it. But it's turned out to be really a terrific thing because there were times during the 80s when having that recognition was very helpful with financing that I was doing and kept my studio alive. And so it's actually served me very well.
How often do you get to write for your own shows now? You have so many shows.
I write for the ones that need me. When a show goes on the air, I usually write. I'm one of the staff members of the show, if I created it especially. I'm one of the staff members for probably the first year at least, and sometimes a year and a half. And by that, it means that I'm in the rotation with all the other writers. If we have four writers on the staff, then I'm up for every fourth script, roughly. And I try and do that. I usually write about 10 scripts a year, and so I fill in on other shows that need me. Sometimes, since I write fairly quickly, the executive producers of other shows of mine will come down the hall and say, we're in trouble, we need something in 3 days, and would you mind grabbing a script and banging it out for us? And so I'll do that, and I do a lot of that sort of utility infield work, but I really love to write, so for me that's not a chore. That's something I'm really happy to be asked.
Let me ask you about one of your series that was one of my favorite series of the 1980s, though it maybe drifted into the 90s as well. I'm thinking of Wise Guy.
Yeah.
Which, the things that made that show really good were, the writing and the performances. You got some terrific actors on there. Kevin Spacey, Ron Silver, Jerry Lewis, Ray Sharkey, all doing these like long guest shots because an arc. A series within the show would take like 6 or 7 episodes.
Right.
So let me actually formulate this into a question.
I'll bet I can guess it, but go ahead.
Okay, why don't you just ask it yourself?
You're probably asking, you probably want to know, like, how did that happen and how did it, you know, the thing
and
about
Wiseguy. What is the antecedent for it? What is
how did it happen that I had a the antecedent is, what? How did it happen that you had a show that ended up being told in story arcs of six episodes instead of just being, because that was really what was unique about the show was that it was a series of miniseries.
Exactly, right. And unlike Hill Street Blues, which would just continue for a whole season, this would just go for six or seven episodes. But you'd have to see all six or seven.
Well, yeah, and we tried to make it so you could miss a couple so and it would still make sense to you. But what I was very intrigued when I came up with that idea initially with one thing. I thought, what would it be like? Because it was really more about the moral gray areas of the hero than anything else. And I said, what would it be like to be a police officer making $35,000, $40,000 a year, and all of a sudden you're going undercover. The OCB, the Organized Crime Bureau, the FBI, puts you in a federal prison as a roommate with somebody and some wise guy. And when he gets out, you get out a month later, and now you're buddies, and all of a sudden you're in the mob. You know somebody's flipping you the keys to a Porsche Targa and saying, "Hey, drive this while the owner's still in jail, and you can use his apartment, which is a penthouse at the top of some beautiful building." And you're going to hang out with glittery people. And I thought that would be very. And so in creating the show, I further complicated that by giving him a handler in the OCB, his control agent. Was a guy he just didn't like. And the first guy that he went after was a guy that he had tremendous emotional attachment to and actually became almost like a brother to, so that when he brought him down at the end, it was one of the most traumatic things for him.
Is this the Ray Sharkey character?
The Ray Sharkey character. And the other thing that was really interesting about that show was that normally in an hour of television, the adversary in the play isn't given much time because you only have 47 minutes and 53 seconds. And so what this allowed me to do was to really go into the mind of the adversary, and the adversary became as important as the hero.
My guest is TV writer and producer Stephen Cannell. He's just published his first novel called The Plan. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Stephen Cannell, the creator of such TV series as The Rockford Files, The A-Team, Wise Guy, Hunter, and 21 Jump Street. I'm interested in how you got your start in television. What was the first thing you wrote?
First thing I wrote that I sold was an episode of It Takes a Thief, starring Robert Wagner. And then I followed that with a couple episodes of Ironside. And then after I sold the Ironsides, I sold an episode of Adam 12. And again, I was just freelancing at this time. I was about 25, 26 years old. And Jack Webb's company put me under contract as the head writer for that show after that one script. And then that was sort of the opening of the door for me. I went to Universal and, you know, I drove on that lot the first day and I thought, boy, this is, I can't believe I'm here. I finally made this. And I was on that show for about a year and a half. And then I created The Rockford Files and Beretta and a bunch of shows for Universal. And through Roy Huggins, I worked with Roy Huggins on those. And that sort of got me started.
So after several years at Universal, you were really quite successful. You decided to form your own company. What did you hope that your own company would give you that working for a studio would not?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things is that my father is an entrepreneur, and I grew up watching my father run his business. And my father's also my best friend and my hero. And I didn't think I had, because of my dyslexia, I didn't think I really had a businessman's mind. But as I got older and successful doing television, I began to sort of play with the idea, well, why shouldn't I own these negatives myself? I create the Rockford Files. I do the show for 6 years, and all I'm doing is paid a salary. And yet I know Universal's going out and selling that show for a lot of money, and that's money I'll never see, even though I produced the show. Now, I didn't take the risk, so I didn't, the economic risks, so I understood that it was their profit to make and not mine. But I got to thinking, well, you know, why shouldn't I take that economic risk? I'm willing to take a risk. Why shouldn't I get the reward? So I decided to set up a company, and I was the first writer that I knew, the pure writer, that decided to take that chance, and that was 15 years ago, and we've done like 25 shows through my company.
I suspect as the head of the production company, you have to read a lot of scripts by people who write for your shows. Is it hard for you to read them quickly with the dyslexia?
Yes, yeah, Terry, it's very hard. I read about 250 words a minute, if that. I'm the slowest reader in my building. My script will come out, and everybody will run to an office and say, we're going to have a meeting in half an hour, and they're all done, and I'm still plowing through it. It's been a horrible burden in my business life to be such a slow reader, because I just takes immense amounts of time. But I'm a voracious reader. I read constantly. I read other people's fiction. The reason that I wanted to write a novel is that I so admire so many novelists, and because I read novels constantly.
Do you have to read your own writing slowly too?
No, I can read that probably about the same speed I read other things, because I know what's there. So, but I spell everything phonetically, and I spell very, very badly. And
do you spell checks now? Does that make it easier?
Doesn't work, because
the computer can't recognize your words.
Doesn't recognize the words. I get a menu of words, and the word I've written is not in there.
Huh.
So I just decided, you know what, this is not my gift. Spelling, you know, my gift such as it is in creative writing, and I will write these words so that they're readable, but I'm not going to spend half of my time that I have. I spend 5 hours a day basically writing. I'm not going to spend 2.5 of those hours looking things up in the dictionary. I'm not interested in how things are spelled. I'm never going to be better at it, because things don't look right to me. Because every time I see a word, I see it slightly differently. I've transposed a couple of letters. So my mother used to say to me, well, Stephen, doesn't that look wrong to you? Well, no, because every time I see that word, I see it slightly differently. So nothing looked right or wrong to me. It's just a very confusing thing, you know, but.
Well, I have one last question for you. Have you ever thought of a TV series called Dyslexic Detective?
Yeah, who can't find any addresses and, you know, doesn't know where to go. Doesn't know his right from his left. Yeah, that's a great idea, Terry.
I knew it would sell.
Make it a half hour, you know.
Well, I bet people come up with bad ideas for you all the time.
Well, that one probably could be a pretty funny one if you decided to write it. We'll talk. You have my number.
Stephen Cannell, thank you very much for talking with us.
Okay, Terry, thank you.
Stephen Cannell is a TV producer and writer. He's just published his first novel called The Plan. This is Fresh Air.